Hello and welcome to Missing Mystic Falls, where we cast a critical eye over every single episode of the hit CW show The Vampire Diaries. My name is Catherine and I'm joined with my co-host Ellie.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so happy. How are you?
I'm on cloud nine. We are also joined by our other co-host who spent months revising to be able to throw a Taylor Swift themed party. We're Alice here. Is here.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
It's me.
It's me. We're very excited, guys. We've got ERA tickets today. So we're just having the time of our lives.
We're a little bit loopy, but we're thrilled.
Exciting times.
Talking about Vampire Diaries, we're going to see Taylor Swift. Oh, guys, this is the best days of our lives.
Honestly.
This is our peak.
The Barbie movie's coming out this month. Like, is there anything else we could do? It's all just too much, really.
Today, I'm overwhelmed. Today we are talking about season one, episode 20, Blood Brothers. And we finally have the answer to the question, what was Taylor doing on April 29th? Because she was watching this episode of The Vampire Diaries.
Of course, amazing.
She was.
Okay, that is my last Taylor Swift one for the day. I've got nothing else planned.
This is so good. We'll throw some others in.
Yeah. The episode was written by Kevin Williamson and Julie Plec and was directed by Liz Friedlander. Elena learns the truth of what happened when Damon and Stefan were turned. Pearl has the ugly confrontation with John Gilbert while Jeremy and Anna get closer. Thoughts, feelings, emotions, how are we?
I like the flashbacks, but I don't know. The episode as a whole, I don't love. I enjoy the flashbacks, but the present day stuff just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, it just felt really drawn out. Like the present, there were also bits where I was like, I just want to get back to the flashbacks. I think they do the flashbacks so well because it starts with Stefan and Damon trying to rescue Catherine and them getting shot, and you don't know who's killed them for ages. And I think they do that really well. And they do the parallels. I won't lie, I found it weird, but the parallels between Catherine and Elena from Stefan's point of view, I think they did really well. But I agree, Al, I didn't like the present day stuff.
On the flashbacks, did they have a filter on them?
I think so.
Stefan's hair looked ginger.
They looked kind of sepia, a little bit.
Yeah.
It was a weird tone. And I don't think the other flashbacks didn't have that, right?
No.
Not that I remember.
And I don't think they have them going forward. So I don't know why.
I couldn't work out if it was like the lighting on my TV had gone weird with the flashbacks. But then it was at the very end when Stefan's at the quarry and Stefan goes back to the quarry. And in one bit he was ginger and in one bit he wasn't. And I was so confused because I was like, Stefan doesn't dye his hair. Not that I'm aware.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was something going on.
Bizarre.
Before we get into the plot, because you know we love to talk about the minutiae.
Yeah.
Where is the quarry? And why do they never go except for this episode? Because it looks beautiful.
Oh, it has a name. I wrote it down. Where did I write it? It was called like Stephen's Quarry. Because I was like, we've got a new location. So I don't know who Stephen is. But it's his quarry.
Hey, Stephen.
You know what? I paid absolutely no attention to that.
Yeah, it's a brand new place.
Interesting.
It's because you've seen it so many times out. You were like, of course they're at the quarry.
Bloody quarry, yeah.
It's beautiful. It's got a waterfall. Do we go back there? We go back to like a creek. Is that the same as the quarry?
We go back to the quarry, but like, I want to say season 4 or 5.
Interesting.
So not for a while.
Okay. I don't know where it is. It must be in the... I think the woods of Mystic Falls are really like arbitrary. What's there and where everything is. Because there's the old church, there's a well, and there's a quarry.
Yeah, because it seemed like Stefan and... Again, I'm jumping to the very end of the episode. But Stefan and Elena walked there. So like, it's not that far.
They have to drive everywhere else in Mystic Falls. It might be by the Salvatore boarding house then. Because that's outside town.
Yeah,
that's true.
That is true. Good point.
In my head, in the little map in my head, it was the other end of town, but don't ask me why.
What is the map of Mystic Falls in your head, Alice?
Little map in your head.
I'll draw it for you all sometime. But I know this is not going to be very audio friendly. I was about to just do a little
gesture.
Yeah. hand demo, but no.
Alice, while explaining that she was going to do a gesture and that it wouldn't work in an audio form, was gesturing.
Silently, just like her hands flailing.
As you won't know, I gesture a lot when I talk. It's one of the things I came to realise about myself about a year ago, and I need to stop, but I do it all the time.
I like it.
You're passionate about the little map of Mystic Falls in your head.
I do think the only way we can get an accurate map of Mystic Falls is go to the town where they film Vampire Diaries and go to all the locations. Because it's a real place.
No, honestly, the tours keep appearing on my Instagram feed as I'm strolling. It's like, come with me on the tour to Mystic Falls.
And I don't know what they sell. Mystic Falls.
Yeah, it's real.
And you can get like the blood bags with a straw. And I don't know what drink it is. It's obviously not blood, but it's like a red drink.
This is so cool.
They've got like the grill there, I think. And they've got like the clock tower. Like that's actually like the place. And I think you can go to like the outside of a few of the houses maybe.
Is the Mystic Grill actually a grill?
I think so. Yeah. You can sit on Elena's porch, definitely. I've seen that.
Mm-hmm. So should we go?
can we please? For what number episode are we going to record live from?
100.
Okay.
I also have a real dream, and I don't think they're anywhere near each other, so we can't do it in one trip, but I have a real dream to go to Forks. Like, I see photos of people doing it, and it looks so cool.
Who says we can't do it in one trip? don't limit us. Today we got Errors tour tickets. Anything is possible.
We are unstoppable.
Exactly. Should we talk about the episode?
Yeah, maybe. So it starts with the flashback, as you were mentioning, of Damon and Stefan going to save Catherine. And one thing I loved, I can't remember which fucking idiot said it, but one of them was like, I'll distract them. And their whole distraction was just yelling, over here, look at me.
That would be Stefan, of Seems course.
A dumb boy.
To also then run straight back to help. Yeah. Like, he wasn't even gone. It's not like the Merry and Pippin bit in Lord of the Rings, which is also still freaking stupid. But at least they run in the opposite direction to Frodo. Stefan just like circles straight back to Damon and Catherine.
No wonder they get caught. I mean, they get shot, which is
well, a steady
sad.
Mic, babe.
Thank you. Gesturing wildly.
They can hear all this. Please stop.
Yeah, it's no wonder. But also, sorry, the other stupid thing they do is when they're trying to untie Catherine's rope, Stefan also is like, hurry, Damon. Well, he's the one untying Catherine. I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
It was a poorly thought out rescue. And I love that it killed them. And meanwhile, we as the viewers already know Catherine had a whole other plan to save herself. She didn't need these men.
Nope.
Guys, our podcasts just come into the room.
Oh, Arrow's here.
Podcat.
Bye.
Bye,
I was too keen. She doesn't want
to. You're going to work for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Stefan and Damon die.
They do. They're shot by someone we don't know.
Then Catherine says, I love you. And it blurs into Elena saying, I love you, which I feel like is a very bizarre. I don't like it.
It's not that I like it, but I feel sometimes that they expect us, the audience, to be too chill with the fact that they are identical women and that both brothers are like obsessed with them, both like women, if that makes sense. So I like that they were making us feel uncomfortable by the fact they look the same, because it is weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
It is really weird. And it's just like, before, Stefan had always made a point of like, no, I don't see you as Catherine. I know you're different. I don't see. But like in this bit, because it was all from Stefan's view of him dying or being like drawn out and starving. And so it's all from Stefan's view. It's like, does he now actually see them as the same person?
Yeah, I don't think he does. I think he's just going through something.
Yeah, I guess also because he's starving, he's hallucinating, but it does make you think that he sees the parallels, like, a bit.
Yeah. They do look the same. They are identical.
And then, well, I guess they come back to life, Stefan and Damon.
Yeah.
So it shows that Catherine was always, like, how often was she feeding them her blood? Like, she was always planning for this.
That's a great question. We get into later on that blood sharing is kind of a thing. So I think it was every time she was feeding on them and they were feeding on her. No?
Mm. But Emily was like, she had to compel... Emily said that Catherine had to compel Stefan.
Yeah, to drink, yeah. She was compelling him to do a lot of things, I think.
That's true. I was like, but if it's sexual, but she was still compelling Stefan to have sex. Yeah, okay, fine. I take that comment back. I agree.
Whereas Damon drank willingly.
This whole episode shows how, like, fucked it was for Damon with Catherine. Like, oh, it was... Don't get me wrong, all of the relationships with Catherine were, like, incredibly fucked, but, like, Damon really loved her. Like, he didn't want to transition in a world without her. Mm-hmm. He drank willingly. He wanted this only for her, and there was, like, no illusions.
Yeah. I do like that they make their relationship with Catherine really distinct from each other, if that makes sense. Like, obviously, they're all entangled in each other's lives, but they have really different thoughts and emotions and relationships with Catherine, which I guess is something. You know what really did make me giggle was in this scene where they've, like, come back to life and Emily Bennett's there, the looks both brothers were rocking, because Damon was just shirtless and then Stefan had, like, his lovely 1864 button up, like, perfectly undone to, like, midway through his chest with a perfect circle of blood.
Yeah.
It cracked me up.
They need to look perfectly dead.
Yeah.
It's got to be clear. They've just come back. They're transitioning. No, the bit that really threw me, Emily Bennett has a brother. She was like, me and my brother carried you over.
She has to have a line. Oh, no, she had children. Oh, I don't know then.
I don't know. Did she have children?
Yeah, yeah. Damon protected her children, which is Bonnie's line.
Because he thought that that's how he'd get in a tomb.
That's actually really weird. It's clearly the writers were like, oh, there's no way she could get their bodies there without the help of a man. But she's a witch.
Mm. Just magic them away.
She's a witch.
Also, like, why introduce a character you're never going to introduce again? Like, Emily's always, you only see her and Catherine. Like, you never see her brother. And surely her brother's a witch as well. Mm. So, like, Catherine could have had two Bennett witches. The whole thing, it was such a stupid, like, addition.
Mm. Yeah.
For a point of, like, they could have just woken up in the quarry.
We weren't asking questions.
No. Do you think Emily's whole motivation in this episode, and we'll get on to it, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Mm, like, yeah. I get where they're going with it, but I don't think the writers do a very good job, full stop.
No, I think they just tried to wrangle it into a way that they could give Stefan and Damon the rings and the tomb and, like, make it all fit, which it didn't quite.
No.
And be like, you're the good one, Stefan. Like, honestly. I rolled my eyes at that so much at the end. I was like, as if.
When she's like, your heart is pure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, when we cut back to the real day. Real day? Present day.
The present day. The factual
Elena and Damon
part.
And Damon is stood there in a cable knit jumper. And you know how much I love a cable knit jumper. It does not suit him one tiny little bit.
Good. I literally have a note, which is, how do we all feel about Damon in a little sweater?
we don't feel good. And it's shocking, because anyone else, I'd be like, oh, love a cable knit jumper. But no, you can't pull it off.
How do you think you feel about Matt in a cable knit jumper?
I think it would suit him better. But I think it would also make him more Matt. And I'm not sure how I feel about that.
That's very fair. It's a very valid answer.
Would it make him more Matt than, like, his football jacket? Surely that's peak Matt.
That's peak Matt.
Or what's peak Matt? His football jacket or him in his grill uniform with a towel over his shoulder?
I was going to say grill uniform.
Oh.
Because they only have that one episode where they play football.
Yeah.
And then other than that.
Should we all dress up as Matt? We can be a different Matt.
I mean, we've all got blonde wigs. So.
You all have blonde wigs.
Need to give them a little trim. We'll be Matt.
Perfect. I dibs bartender Matt. That would be my main one.
Okay, I know which one I'm picking, but I can't say because it's a spoiler.
I was thinking the same.
Were you? Okay, I'll take football Matt.
No, you take that one. I'll have a think.
What are you referencing?
Okay, when
Oh, I'll bleep this bit out. I haven't seen that bit. Yeah, I'll just put a beep over what you said.
Cool. I think the podcat's trying to get in. Let me just open my door.
What Matt look?
We can be football, Matt. You can carry a football.
I can be football, Matt. Yeah.
I don't know if you can see her, but she's like awkwardly just there throwing a strop that I'm not coming down.
Hello. Does anything happen when Damon's wearing a sweater, or is he just in the sweater?
That's the only note I have on that scene, so I don't think anything else.
Is it when Rick phones Damon and they have the conversation?
Oh, that's later, but we can talk about that, because one thing that really made me laugh is when he goes, "Hi, it's Alaric Saltzman calling. Why the last name? What other Alarics does he know?"
You have to clarify which Alaric there is, but there's only ever one Isabel in the whole world. I also love Alaric having this conversation, being like, "You've killed me, Damon," while he's in his history classroom. Yeah.
Also, did you notice now he's become pals with Damon? He's joined the High Hair Brigade.
Has he?
Wow. Yeah. I didn't notice.
It was definitely an inch, maybe more. It was definitely facing skyward. Mm.
And it's not spiky in this one. Like, he had spiky hair for a while that I didn't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Alaric is called Damon because they have a lead on Isabel. Because through John, but also Alaric knows someone from Duke University, because that's the only university the writers know. But for some...
Duke from Duke.
Do you think it's Duke?
I hope it's Duke from Duke. But also, one of Alaric's contacts can track people. So I don't know who he's a history teacher. Why does he know someone that can track people?
God knows. And put a trace on their call. Like, is it that easy to find two people have called? Like, can I look into your call log?
You definitely not. This gentleman from Duke, absolutely.
And get a location.
An address. An address when the phone probably isn't registered to that address. Surely not, because it's probably like a...
Burnable. Yeah. Something. Yeah.
But I mean, they got... Who was that woman that Elena went to see? Tracy?
Oh, yeah.
They got her address from Bing. So,
like, Bing can do anything. It's the greatest search engine alive.
maybe he just went through Bing. Maybe that's what he did. You actually don't need someone from Duke.
You just need
Bing. You think he was bigging himself up? Like, I know people, Damon. Be impressed by me.
They just want to be best friends.
Oh, I thought you made a pun. I thought you said, "Do you think he's binging himself up?"
That's what I heard.
Oh no.
Like Bing.
Bigging.
Also, I do find it baffling how quickly Rick and Damon are now just best buds.
I like it.
I like it too, but they did hate each other like less than, a couple of episodes ago.
You just need a common enemy of John Gilbert and suddenly you're like best pals. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. So should we talk about their whole bit?
Yeah, it's maybe a fun bit.
So they go to the house, they rock up at this place, and Rick's like, "Can we please not kill anyone today?" Which I did find really entertaining.
And there's a vampire there that Damon can enter the house. So we get a lovely little exposition, which I actually thought was quite well done, about when you can and can't enter places. And we get sweet little Henry, the tomb vampire.
He seems a poor Henry. Yeah.
Henry did an iconic line, which I wrote down. Where is it? It was like how basically John is Henry's only friend, poor Henry. Like, gosh. And then John's been helping him with everything. And he goes, "Cars, computers, match.com."
Oh. Bless him.
This was my question to you guys. What's on his match.com profile?
I think the only two things he knows really into cars and computers.
I was going to say he's like a southern gentleman. That's probably what he's put.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait to court the next lady.
Yeah. Looking to just settle down.
Yeah.
Maybe a few vampire puns in there too.
Mm. Oh, I hope it's filled with really obvious vampire puns.
I bet you whose word? Damon's.
Oh, he absolutely would. Yeah,
it would actually. But the other thing is, John helped him set it up. And like, we've seen John try to be charming in this episode. He's still fucking sleazy. Can you imagine John sitting down with this guy and setting up a match.com profile?
Well, look, because he also helps Henry do his laundry and separate his whites. Like, the whole thing makes no sense.
I can't envision it.
No.
And Henry's so in, like, awe of John. That's probably why John likes him, because he's the only one who can tolerate
John,
his presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, well, John calls, and they tease Henry, and then Alaric stabs him in the heart.
Why do they kill Henry? They could have just buddied up to him.
You know, they're not one for diplomacy.
I guess fair.
Like, there will be less of an issue if Henry's dead than having to, like, deal with him any, like, keep him in a cage. I may as well kill him. I know, he didn't do anything wrong.
And we see later, then we get flashback to the scene, and Rick and Dane have been, like, searching around. Damon, of course, found alcoholic Rick some alcohol. Yeah. Obviously.
He needs a way to cope with just murdering someone for no reason.
Right, but they bond over drinking, searching for Catherine and Isabel, and sleeping with Isabel. Like, it's such a messed up
conversation. And, like, talking about how long they've been, like, pining after their loves. Like, oh, giving up after 2 years. What are you going on 146?
I liked that scene. I thought it was fun.
Oh, no, I enjoyed it, but I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah. When he was like, 2 years, that's very healthy. I might do around 200.
At least Damon's self-aware. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Sometimes.
But yeah, no, that's when we really see great bonding between Rick and Damon.
Do you think the writers are better at writing? Because I was thinking this. I think Damon and Alaric are, like, a really good friendship that they write. I think they write Damon and Stefan. I think they write their relationship pretty well. Not that it's always a friendship, but they write it pretty well. Do you think they're better at writing platonic male friendships than female?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so too. Because I actually think season one, they do a pretty good job. I think the girls season one, they particularly Bonnie and Elena, they show how strong their bond is. I think that fades as it goes along. And I think they write Caroline into that to make that, like, interesting dynamic quite well in the first season. I think as it goes on, I just don't think the girls' friendships get the same kind of focus that even, like, Alaric and Damon's does.
Yeah, I agree. I think you don't, like, you really believe in their friendship, and, like,
Because at a certain point, I really feel like the three girls don't do a lot together. Like, it's only when something big happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, or it's, like, a point to talk about their relationship. Like, that's all girls ever will do, is, like, when they hang out, they'll just speak about their relationships or someone they fancy or, like, something that they want to do. It's not, like, the same conversations or the same fun mischief that Rick and Damon get up to.
Mm. Anyway, just food for thought. We'll keep an eye on it as it goes on.
Where do we want to go from here? Do we want to talk about John and Pearl, or do we want to talk about Damon and Elena?
Leela's choice. Alice's choice.
Oh. Alice made a decision.
John and Pearl.
Fuck, John's a creep.
Although just before we do John and Pearl, John and Elena, I actually did find I like Elena being sassy to John. So I think, like, they were having, he was in her room. It was creepy. Why was he just in her room? But she was heading out.
He was waiting behind the door, and then he started, like, picking up her things. It was gross.
He's so creepy.
Also, that's exactly what Damon does. Like, to like do a thing. Isn't that so creepy? Like, both Damon and John. Yeah.
But this is, like, it's creepy from Damon, but John is her uncle.
Well, yes.
But Elena does, because they get into a little back and forth about vampires, and he's like, I do like that he's kind of no bullshit. He's like, I know you know about vampires. But Elena loves to play the adoption card when he's like, what would your mother think? Which mother?
Oh, she loves it. But also, I think they do it really well when he's like, I know you know. You kind of think he's talking about, oh, I know you know you're adopted, rather than, that's what I took from it, rather than. But then I was also like, John's Grayson's brother, he's only bringing in the mother card because we know about Isabel, and we don't know who her father is. I was like, why didn't he say, like, what would your father think about this?
That's a good point.
Because I was like, it makes, for me, it made no sense from, like, his family.
But shows do this sometimes. Like, they always think that, like, the girl has the strong relationship with her mother. So Elena's mother always gets referenced. And for Jeremy, his father always gets referenced. Like, when John was talking to Jeremy, he's like, oh, me and your dad, or I'm doing this for your dad. You know what I mean? So they always do that. It's just like girls are close to their mum and boys are close to their dad, and that's it.
Yeah, I agree, because I was like, that doesn't. I really enjoyed the like witch mother and her like storming off, and I was like, yeah, be sassy, that's fine. But in my head, I was like, that made no sense as a like conversation arc with John.
I'm so sorry. Whilst we're on this, I actually think I made a mistake. I think it would make more sense to talk about Damon and Elena, because we talked about Damon.
Sure thing, babe. Whatever you want.
You do you, huh?
What do you want to say about them?
I just think we really see them bond as friends in this episode. Like, it's clear they're looking after Stefan. And I will say, I really like Paul Wesley throughout. I think his acting throughout this whole episode, when he's not being like the Stefan as we know him, it's kind of what you were saying in episodes before, Catherine. Like, he's really good at playing a different role, or a darker role, or someone who's like going through drying up as an addict and like withdrawal and things and feeling all the guilt he's feeling. I thought Paul Wesley was amazing.
I agree. I thought there was one point that was pretty bad, though. It's right at the end. It's when he's back at the creek. But I think maybe that was the camera angles, because it's when he's like freaking out and they're like flashing to his face and he's like, "Oh my god, I'm overwhelmed." And it that looked really dumb in my mind.
No, when he's like locked in the thing and he's brooding and he's being like creepy.
That was good.
Sorry, I've gone off such a tangent. That wasn't what we were going to talk about. But I just thought, side note, Paul Wesley, great. But then you can see like when Elena's like, "Oh, I'm spending all my time here." And Damon's like, "So you're going to be here tonight?" And they're clearly joking. And when Damon comes back from hanging out with Rick and he like puts Elena's feet on his lap and they're distressed, it's like they're clearly very comfortable with each other. Yeah.
And even after the call with Rick, like he hears a call from Elena, like closes things off with Rick and then settles down for a nice little chat on the phone with Elena. Like, you can see him really just wanting to spend time with her, really kind of like developing that.
He is besotted.
Yeah.
Oh, and you can see it. But also she knows it, when he's like, "You're taking a big risk, like you trust him too much," about Stefan being like, "He's not ready." And she's like, "Well, you wouldn't leave me home alone with him if you thought the same." So like, there's an understanding there, definitely, of like, Damon will do anything.
It is wild that they're like acknowledging the fact that Damon has romantic feelings for her and they're just kind of okay with it.
Yeah. I also feel like Elena, like, not eggs him on, but she's definitely aware and definitely uses it to her advantage in quite a few situations.
Definitely.
Yeah, I also think it's quite messed up that like the route to this relationship bonding is like Stefan going through a really traumatic time of like going back on human blood and being like trapped in the basement, and then his girlfriend and his brother, who has previously dated the same woman who looks exactly like his girlfriend, are just having a lovely bonding experience upstairs.
Just when you summarize this show, it sounds insane. That's nuts. They have to do that all the time, because, you know, at this point, particularly because they frame Stefan on going on human blood as not being his fault, like it's an addiction, slash Elena like encouraged him into it, so they kind of need to like put Stefan to the side to get, because he's not done anything, his and Elena's relationship is still strong, it's still really strong, Elena still like completely trusts him. So they need to like literally lock him in another room they can go through their bit of affection with each other.
Yeah, it was mad. What do you think about Elena completely trusting Stefan when she goes into, so she goes, Stefan's locked in the basement, she goes in to try and convince him to drink some blood, she's home alone, Damon's out with Rick, and she like really, he is so riddled with guilt and he keeps wanting her to leave and she just won't.
I think she's right. I think she's right to trust. I think she knows he wouldn't hurt her. And I think she's right, he wouldn't. Like, I think it's a case of she fundamentally understands Stefan. Like, I actually really liked the bit where he started to, like, vamp out. And she didn't move because she wasn't scared of him, because she, like, kind of saw through that he was, you know, putting her on a little bit.
I agree. I think she was right to trust him in the fact he's never going to hurt her. And I think that's true. I think she maybe hadn't realized what he was going through, because she did leave the door open, left him the ring, and well,
he just wandered off.
Guess what he did. Which was guess a mistake.
I would also say, like, I completely think I agree with both of what you guys are saying, and I think she's so right to trust Stefan. I think that she puts herself in situations where you see her later on with other vampires, where it's really stupid. She's got such a full sense of security with vampires because she's got a relationship with Stefan and Damon where she knows they can both get really angry and they can both like vamp up and like come towards her in a threatening way, but she knows nothing's ever going to happen with them. And then put her to someone who doesn't know her or have the same feelings. And I'm like, it's a bit of a stupid false sense of security that she has. But I do think in the situation with Stefan, completely agree. I'm just like, you're an idiot with when it comes to vampires.
I get that. When he just wandered off, I was like, Elena, what are you doing here? Because he goes to the creek because Stefan is the most dramatic of bitches. And he's like, got to go back to where it all began. So he goes to the creek to die.
This is the sort of bit about this episode that I was just like,
ugh. Yeah. Also, it's a semi-spoiler. So if you want to take it out, you can take it out. But like, knowing what we know about Stefan, the fact that he's feeling so much guilt about this scene, I'm just like...
It's not even knowing what we know. He's feeling all this guilt because he's gone off human blood. But I would like to be very clear. His kill count at this point is 5. So he has already killed... They're mainly vampires, I think. But he has killed 5. Like, he didn't care when he murdered Vicky, who had done nothing wrong. But, like, the idea of him drinking some human blood and he's overwhelmed and he's like, oh, my God, I must die.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's still friends with Matt, if we go back to Vicky. Like, he's still happily friends with Matt.
Nonsense.
Just messed up.
Yeah. On that note, what he's feeling guilty about... No, I'm going too far. Let's talk about... I think Elena talks him down pretty well when he's on the edge. That I will give her credit for. And like, I think one thing that you see about their relationship that I quite like in this, and you've seen it before with Stefan, but Elena's like, here you go, talks him down, but then it's like, it's your choice, and walks away, which I think is quite a hallmark of their relationship, to be like, I'll let you decide what's best for you.
That's something I've always liked about them as a couple, is they don't make decisions for each other. I wrote about them, I do believe in them as a couple. They're two little overdramatic bitches who love to talk things through. So that's what I think. They're a very like, for like a teen show, I think they're a really like communicative relationship, like compared to everyone else who like can't talk about anything to save their lives. They like to talk through problems and like have a nice chat. That's a bad thing. So I do like Stefan and Elena as a couple, in particular in this episode at the end. I thought that was a nice little moment for them.
Completely, because there was a bit halfway through the episode, again, it's when like Stefan just vamps up and she's like, no, and he's talking about how he wished he'd never become a vampire. And at one point I wrote down, like, isn't that a bit messed up to say that he should never become a vampire when he's, like, forced Elena into this life? But I think she's really understanding of, like, I can't help you if you don't talk to me and I'm here. And she so clearly doesn't judge him on anything at this point, because she's just like, you're going through something, I'm here for you, and you can't change it, but you can make the choice to be a better person every day, and we can work on that together. And that is really great. Bit which you don't normally see from Elena.
They are ride or die for each other.
Yeah. I will say it gave me such Buffy flashbacks. Did it give it for you as well, Catherine, this episode?
With Angel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which bit, when is it in Buffy?
I don't know. It's the bit where like the big bad, the like very the one that they face at the very end, but it's I want to say it's like season 3 when he's like back from... We're giving so many Buffy spoilers, but when he's...
That's okay. The show's 20 years old. It's okay.
When he's back from hell and he's like just tormented and he goes up on a hill and he's going to set himself on fire.
Yeah.
And Buffy has to come and calm him down. It's very much the same. Like Stefan's decided he's going to see the sunlight without his daylight ring, and Elena has to come calm him down.
It's really... Well, Stefan in general always reminds me of Angel. Like I actually think they're pretty similar characters.
Yeah.
But that scene in particular, like, is right out of Buffy, 100%.
That's true. That's a very valid point.
And Damon's more like Spike.
Yeah. Who's Riley? Matt.
Maybe. Okay. Let me tell you, Elena's no fucking Buffy.
God no. Maybe she's Cordelia. Although that's mean for Cordelia, I prefer.
Yeah, Cordelia's Caroline. Wait, we can't get into this now.
Also, sorry, Al, because like you haven't. Anyway.
Oh yeah, I'm just like spoil away, ignoring the Alice.
God, guys, all the spoilers.
So we've touched on the Damon and Elaine a bit. But we also learn kind of the history of the Salvatore brothers through the flashbacks. And we spoke at the start that they turned into vampires, but we see that both of them initially didn't want to become a vampire. They had like no interest in it.
And then Stefan goes to say goodbye to his father because he's like, oh, he'll be so upset that we're dead and I'm going to go say goodbye.
Giuseppe's back, which it's not that I like Giuseppe, I just like saying Giuseppe.
But yeah, it's a very strange interaction, but I think this is also where you first see Stefan's true like kind of addiction beginning. He's so like, his father admits he shot them both, which is awful.
Yep, Giuseppe killed both of his sons.
What a terrible father.
Him and Stefan have this weird confrontation that ends up with him getting stabbed.
Yeah. I think, isn't Giuseppe about to kill Stefan? Yeah. And then Stefan shoves him back and he gets skewered with some sort of wooden thing.
But he like throws him backwards, right?
I think he pushes like, and then he doesn't realise his strength and he like vamp pushes.
Yeah.
But he hasn't transitioned yet. No, but so why does he have vampire strength?
I really don't understand. There's a bit where he comes back where he's transitioned and he's like figured out everything. Like he knows compulsion. He knows how to like, it's so weird. But he does say to Damon he didn't realise his own strength. And like, but I think there is a bit where Vicky like smashes a plate.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, because I think you start to get some of the stuff because like, I feel like all the senses are really wired. So I guess maybe your strength is the same thing.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Giuseppe says you were both dead to me when you sided with the vampires. And then he's like already, he's just been like, I've just killed you and I'm very happily going to kill you for
again.
A second time.
What's it when you kill, because Stefan kills Giuseppe, so Stefan commits patricide. Yeah. But what's it when you kill your child? Filicide?
Yeah.
I think so. So that we're getting, so Giuseppe wants to do it twice.
No, I love it. I love it for the stats section, because if we had a chart for like the kills, it would be really funny with Giuseppe. yeah, it's beautiful. Also, I think the scene, because they like, so Stefan shoves Giuseppe back and then you see the blood. And I think the way he just like mops, literally Catherine's doing like licking motions.
He just licks it. He just licks the blood up like a little cat.
It's so upsetting.
It really is. It's a very like graphically... scene.
And then he comes back and you're so right, Al, he's literally just mesmerized. You can really see how quickly he gets hooked on human blood, the way he comes back and forces Damon doesn't have a choice in this at all.
This acting I thought was very good from Paul. To insult him earlier, but this I thought he was great.
And you can kind of see that it's like him but not him, like it's not like he's, you know, he's playing two sides of the same coin, which I think is really good. Like, he's still Stefan, but he's like an addict.
Bad Stefan.
Yeah. But like, it's...
Old Stefan can't come to the phone right now.
Why?
Because he's dead.
Because he actually is.
That's so good.
Amazing.
Can that be our, like, Spotify description?
I'll put it on a description. We also have in this bit, the first kind of explanation that vampires have a magical light switch that they can flick on and off, and with that, emotions can be turned up or down. And Stefan's is off in the past.
Yeah, it's, my God, it's gone. He didn't want to feel anything. I've said it already, but it was just like, I don't understand how he learns everything. He comes back with this woman and he's like, I can move, I can compel people.
He'll get his memories back. So he'll remember Catherine compelling people. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think he will have seen Catherine. I think they know more than most people turning into vampires.
Yeah.
Because they true. Even Stefan knew Catherine was a vampire. He just didn't know she was compelling him.
Him. Yeah, that's fair. Or no, or, like, she just compelled him not to care.
Yeah, that way around. So I think they did know stuff. Sorry, just on the switch, I fucking hate the emotion switch. I don't know if anyone else feels the same. And it's not so bad when it first gets brought up, but it just grates on my nerves. I think it's a really lazy... It gets really lazily used at a certain point and stupid.
I think it's because it, like, justifies evil characters better, but, like, it's not like in... Sorry to keep bringing up Buffy. But in Buffy, when you're turned into a vampire, you lose your soul and you genuinely have no humanity. But, like... Angel has a soul and like Spike gets a soul at some point, and it's like, and I do like that you can have some good. I would just like, you get good people and you get dickheads. Like, you do you need a humanity switch? Can you just have people who genuinely don't really care?
I don't mind it too much as a concept, but I think, and at this point they're talking about off and on, and I feel like later they talk about like, oh, it's on dimmer and it's this and it's that. I think if it was literally a switch, I kind of like get it, and I think they could use it well. I just think, as you said, they get like lazy with it. I don't think they use it in the right way.
Yeah, I also think it gets really, I just think it's dumb. Like, you fundamentally, the whole thing of what's the easiest way we can explain anything, it's like a switch, it's absolute or not, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a lazy analogy. It's boring, and I hate every time they bring it up. But to be fair, this episode is not to blame for that. It's what happens later.
Very fair.
I also think what's interesting, so like, you see Stefan persuade Damon, or kind of force Damon to drink, and he says the it'll be an eternity of misery for you, the famous phrase. But when you get the real life, I keep calling it real life, modern day flashback.
I love it.
They have like a little pep talk, and what I think is good from Damon is like saying to Stefan that you're not responsible for everything that happens just because he made one decision, which I think is good. But then when he says that he was mad at Stefan not because of what he forced Damon to do, but because Catherine only wanted to turn one of them, I didn't like it. I get it, and it's such a character, like such a marker of Damon's character. He's an obsessive, jealous guy, but it kind of,
I quite liked it because it showed that the relationship is messed up, and like Catherine can't have both of them, and Damon wasn't happy that she wanted both of them. And it shows, like, because I think at the beginning of the episode when they're both trying to rescue her, I was like, God, it's so fucking weird. These two brothers are so besotted and so happily working together to save this woman that they both love. Like, how messed up is that? And it shows at the end that actually, like, Damon wasn't okay with it. Like, he was okay with everything else. She showed him how to kill people. Like, he drank from her willingly, like, as a human. And all of this stuff, that was fine. It was Stefan that was a step too far. Like, that.
I liked it.
I think what I don't like about it is, I think, and maybe it's because as the show goes on, you see it more, but that the relationship between the two brothers is actually really strong. I'm not very like, you know, that they wouldn't ever really wish each other real harm. And I think that when he says that, it's like, oh, I'd have rather you died than become a vampire. And I don't know if that's what he actually would have wanted.
No, I don't think that's what he wanted. I don't think it's that he wished Stefan dead. I think that he wishes it was only him as a vampire for eternity with Catherine. So I think if Damon could have it his way, Stefan would also be a vampire, but not dating Catherine, if that makes sense. But I actually think, in terms of what you're saying, Al, you're right, that their relationship is very strong. And I think it makes more sense that it was frayed because of Damon's misplaced anger towards Stefan, rather than blaming him for his entire existence. Because Damon deep down loves his brother. He doesn't hold him responsible for becoming a vampire. Also, it's not 17-year-old Stefan's fault that happened, by the way. So I think it makes more sense that it's like this unjust anger that isn't really fair, which is why deep down he still really loves his brother and still wants to protect him, is because he knows, like, he's almost being hypocritical by holding him, like, hating him for it and torturing him.
And I think he just wanted to be chosen by Catherine rather than, he didn't want Stefan to become a vampire. He just wanted to be the one with Catherine.
Yeah, I think that's what he wants to be chosen.
Yeah, and you see the parallels quite a lot sometimes where people are like, it will always be Stefan. And it's just, I think that's what Damon's grappling with. But also to say, I do think it's like, you see they're really strong, but at the beginning, particularly like seasons 1 and 2, they're not going for like a brother's bond series. And I do think that grows. So that's probably something that, like, maybe if they were writing it from the beginning with the story arc they had, they'd maybe change that. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's maybe go on to Anna and Jeremy and Pearl and John, just to wrap up our last few storylines. So I don't have that much to say about Anna and Jeremy. Just they're growing closer. She's going to attend. She wants to attend school with him. They're like properly a couple. I thought she looked adorable in their first scene together. Like she literally had the perfect outfit for her. Her hair looked amazing. She was so cute with her jacket and a big smile. I thought she looked stunning. And I think she's so likable and she makes Jeremy so much more likable in these scenes.
Definitely.
Yeah. I also think like, I really love Jeremy and Anna. And I think not to make these parallels, because I still very much stand for justice for Vicky Donovan, but like Jeremy is not used to women like showing, like wanting to attend school, even though they're a vampire and they don't need to attend school, but just to hang out with him. Like that, those kind of things mean a lot to Jeremy and he really likes that. I think they are really sweet. And it's nice for Anna to have someone who like, sorry, I am rambling. It's nice for Anna to have someone who just like, sees her for who she is and absolutely adores her. It's a very sweet relationship.
I agree. And I think also, as you said, I'm not sure all the parallels, but I'm going to. I think he's a lot more himself with Anna. I think with Vicky, he felt a lot of peer pressure. She was older. She wanted to do drugs more than him. He was kind of like always trying to get her. And this feels a lot more natural.
Real. Well, yeah. I think part of what really drew him to Vicky was it was just after his parents' death. And, you know, she actually pointed this out a lot. And she was like, you only really want to be with me because of that, because of this darkness. And eventually you're going to move on from it. And I'm still going to be me. And I think that is very accurate. Whereas Anna is, even though she's a fucking vampire, she's like more right for Jeremy. We do have to discuss the very, very cringy scene where they're talking about Uncle John and she's like, he's a hater, Jeremy. And he goes, what am I? My weakness.
My weakness.
That's foul.
Also, like when she says hater, like she clearly means like he's a vampire hater. But all I can hear is another Taylor Swift thing. Shake it off. That's
haters,
all I'm going to think.
Haters going to hate.
That's I was like, it's so teenage, but then they're talking about like a vampire hater.
Also, she like reveals at one point that she can hear Jenna downstairs, and Jeremy's really turned on by this. He's really turned on by a woman with good hearing.
Like, I was thinking that what for me, like, such a turn off if I was about to have sex with someone and they were like, oh yeah, I can hear your guardian opening the refrigerator downstairs.
Well, stop listening to them.
Literally.
So weird.
I also do feel like their scene, and I think it's because he's meant to be so young in it, but it's one of the steamiest ones and it made me a little uncomfortable because of how young I think he's meant to be.
I don't want a steamy scene with Jeremy, let's be real here.
No,
I have no interest in it.
No,
I love him and Anna as a couple. That's lovely. I'd see many steamy scenes with Anna, don't get me wrong, but like Jeremy, I'm not that fussed by.
It's also they're not like a couple that has like sexual tension. They're just like cute
sweet
and nice
teenage
and
couple.
Yeah. I have no interest in it. No.
Do you have interest in Pearl and John? Were you charmed by John as he said he would charm Pearl?
He's a fucking creep. What charm does he? He's like, oh, the Gilbert charm. What? Let me
he
tell you, we've
it.
Seen the two Gilbert men we've seen. Fucking none of them have charm. Not single one.
No. Also, neither does John Gilbert. We've seen John Gilbert in flashbacks. Like, the three Gilbert men.
Yeah. No charm. Ugh.
And it's so funny because I'll keep saying it, but, like, me and Alice find the actor attractive in a different role, so I just don't understand because John Gilbert is so repellent.
He's awful. I don't get it.
It's crazy.
Also, like, when he says he's going to charm Pearl and then he's like, God, you vampires are so emotional. John Gilbert hated you. How in what world?
What was he hoping to get out of that? He wants something from Pearl, so he's going to insult her to her face and laugh at her, and we're meant to think he's smart? I don't.
No, what an idiot.
Honestly.
I do want to give the director props because there was a lovely scene transition in this. Right after Henry dies because of the call to John, you then see John coming back from like making the call. And I was like, that was a lovely little transition. We never have such stitching between scenes. It's normally harsh, harsh turns between storylines. So well done.
That's true. You guys can't see it, but Catherine just like... actually cheers.
Clink, clink, clink.
Yeah, that's fair. But no, this whole scene with Pearl, absolute fucking idiot. And then she's like, well, I gave it to Damon, so screw you.
Love Pearl.
Love Pearl.
Then tragedy strikes.
Oh, it's so sad. They're getting ready to go.
Harper's helping with the bags. They have a really beautiful moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so John kills Harper and Pearl. So Pearl's dead.
Right, so I was going to ask about this because we never see Harper. I assume he's killed as well.
Don't we see his body?
Mm.
Alice is just, don't you eat on Mike, Alice.
Okay, sorry. I thought we didn't, but we must do.
Alice is trying to chew.
Not in the same shot that Pearl's killed, but in a later shot when Anna finds them, she finds two bodies.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right.
So they're both dead.
That was a really good scene, I think, of Anna coming back and finding her mum. It was so sad.
Yeah. She's just got her mum back.
Yeah, she's had 140 years of, like, waiting without her mum just to get her mum back. She finally does. And she was going to leave Jeremy to be with her mum. Like, you can see she really loves Jeremy, but she was going to be like, no, I'm going to go because I'd rather be with my mum.
Guys, if you want a shred of happiness, don't stay in Mystic Falls.
Honestly, why do people stay? Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Yeah. Honestly. Pearl is in a shockingly few amount of episodes, you know. She's such a big character in my mind. It's because the actress is so... No, Pearl.
Pearl. Oh, yeah.
It's because the actress is great.
She's amazing. She leaves a lasting impression.
Mm-hmm. She really does. God.
Also, last but not least, the final scene. Rick's drinking in the bar.
Alone.
Because he's an alcoholic.
And guess who rocks up?
Isabel.
She's back.
Oh my God. It ends really well.
There's a good ending, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, really wants you to choose. Because they did a good job of like sewing Isabel. Isabel in this episode. Elizabeth in this episode. So to then like reintroduce her was great. So it's a great ending. They love a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
they do. Really do.
To be fair, when I was watching this, so do I, especially the first time, you know, it does keep you hooked.
Oh God, I love it. I also love it because in this episode, we didn't talk about it, but Rick was like, you know what, I'm done. I'm not going to search her anymore. I don't want to be part of this life. And then she comes to him and it's just like, ha ha ha, you can't get out.
I think, because for our season finale, we're going to do like a wrap up of the season and ask like a few of our, like ourselves some questions. I think we should have favorite cliffhanger. I think we should add that one in. If anyone has any suggestions, let us know, because we're recording it this week. So let us know if there's any questions you want us to answer.
I also thought we should have favourite tertiary character, because the amount of times I think you've said Catherine, I love to revel in a tertiary character.
Okay, well, we'll have favourite tertiary character and best cliffhanger. Okay, they'll be added.
Yeah.
Okay, exciting. But
I'm already going to have to rack my brain. I feel like the beginning of the season feels so long ago.
So fucking long ago.
I'm going to have to do so much revision for this quiz. Please do let us know any questions that you'd like us to answer.
Or if you just have any good ones. It doesn't matter if you don't care about our answers. Just if you have any ideas, send them to us.
Yeah. Your favourite season one moments, just full stop.
Yeah, we'd love to know. I think it's that time again. It's stats time. So,
woo!
We are keeping track of all the kills in the show, all the relationships, and every time the characters come back to life. So what are we adding this week?
We get some kills.
What kills?
Giuseppe gets 2 kills.
So yeah, Giuseppe gets scores on the board. He wasn't there before.
Stefan gets another kill.
Yep.
Right. I want to give Rick and Damon a joint kill for Henry, because Rick stabbed him, but Damon held his body.
I think we've had something similar in the past with that vampire that was killed in a history classroom, and we just gave it to Steph.
Okay, so we'll just give it to Rick.
I think just Rick.
That's fair. Well, Damon still's on the board because he must have killed that woman that he drank from.
He killed that woman,
so he still killed that random.
Yeah.
And then we also get kills for John Gilbert.
Yeah. He gets 2. So that means Damon is still leading the pack with 24. Stefan's moved up a level, so he is now our second most murderous character with 6. Alaric has 4, and then John's on the board for the first time with 2, and Giuseppe's on the first board for the first time with 2, to give us a total of 50.
Oh, that's quite a landmark. 50 kills.
Mm-hmm. 50 kills, baby.
That's quite pleasing.
And then we also had some resurrections.
Yes.
Damon and Stefan.
Stefan and Damon are back to life.
Yeah. Woo. So nice and easy. No one's got to two resurrections yet. Everyone is on one so far. So we're still on tenterhooks to see who's going to take the crown for season one.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But that's it. No relationships.
No relationships, no. Just you wait. It will get messy.
And then some trivia for this episode. So this week I listened to Entertainment Weekly did a podcast series that was like a retrospect on Vampire Diaries, with each episode focusing on a season, and then they get different people who are involved on it to talk about the show. So it was good. I listened to the season 1, which had the two showrunners, Kevin Williamson and Julie Plec. So they actually wrote this episode and they were the showrunners for all of season 1. It was pretty interesting as like a behind the scenes for how the actual show was put together. So they literally say in this podcast that it was greenlit solely because of Twilight. Like, they are very clear about that.
It's very clear in the
season. Here in the show. Originally, it was offered to Kevin Williamson as a movie, and he turned it down. Julie was really keen to do it, but they wouldn't give it to her because they wanted Kevin to do it. And then he said he would only do it with her. So they kind of became like a package deal. However, the interview makes it really clear that they had very, very different visions for the show. Which explains kind of why the show really tonally changes at one point, because from season 4 onwards, Julie is the only showrunner. So Kevin really wanted, he talked about how he wanted a scary show with some romance. And interesting what you were saying earlier, Julie is really clear that she wanted a Buffy-style show, and she talked how she would directly reference Buffy plots in the writer's room, and he would be like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
That makes so much sense, particularly from like season 4.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, yeah. Right? Which is, if you remember, we talked about they thought about including a succubus. So they actually shot these scenes. They also had a pitch in season 1 about a gargoyle on a tomb that came to life.
Hello, Doctor Who.
So weird, so different than what the show became. I haven't seen Legacies, which is one of the spin-offs that Julie did, but everyone says in it she was really trying to do Buffy, and this gargoyle plot is then in Legacies, so it seems like she just made Buffy at one point.
Interesting. yeah that's really interesting. It's also like you can really see the issues of like becoming a package deal with someone who really wants to do something, because if they're so passionate they have a vision,
yeah,
and it would be like their way goes.
I think he's a much better showrunner. I really, really do. And I think I think we'll get to season 4, but I think there is a noticeable dip in quality when she has like sole control over it. However, in season 1, it's clear they had absolutely nothing planned when they started the season and they didn't know where they were going. Do you remember the line that Damon says, "That's for me to know and for you to dot, dot, dot.
How could you forget that line?
Yeah. They wrote that line because they kept getting the note from the studio like, we don't understand Damon's motivations, and they didn't know it yet. So that's why they put it in, because they had no idea what dot 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 was.
I think that's really clear, because like you don't know whether it's Elena, you don't know whether it's Stefan, then you find out it's Catherine, but then he doesn't get Catherine, but he still hangs around, and it's like, right.
So originally they weren't going to do flashbacks because Kevin didn't want them and Julie did. I do think she was right on that. But they didn't know at first if Nina was going to play both Catherine and Elena.
Who else would have played Catherine?
So in the books, it's not that they're doppelgangers of each other. It's just that there's a striking resemblance. So it's just meant to be that they look alike. And they didn't know. This is what blew my mind, is they didn't know they were ever going to bring Catherine back.
Really?
Yeah. So Nina didn't audition to be Catherine and Elena. She only did an audition as Elena. So
that's crazy, because I think she's better as Catherine. Yeah. So like, they're really lucky.
She's an amazing
with Catherine. That.
They had nothing planned. They also talked about how they wrote so many of the episodes in one night. So they wrote them overnight and would go to bed at 8 a.m. So Lost Girls, which was the first flashback one, and Let the Right One In, they both wrote them overnight. And finally, the mantra of the season 1 writer's room was, everything has to be epic.
Love it.
It's pretty epic.
So yeah, it's very interesting if anyone wants to give it a listen. I'm gonna watch the season two one before we record season two, because I know they have Nina and Paul on that one. Be good.
Ooh, that sounds great.
On a far less highbrow note, have you...
Was that highbrow?
Was quite high. Well, versus what I'm about to say. I mean, it's not that exciting. But have you seen the description for the Vampire Diaries on YouTube? It's ridiculous.
No.
Think you know vampires? You don't. Neither does Elena, but she is about to. Paul Wesley and Ian Somerhalder star in the series as two vampire brothers at war for her soul.
Oh, God. That's her soul?
That's the description
it's
on
really
YouTube.
It's really insulting to not have Nina in there.
Yeah.
How bizarre.
Yeah. That would agree.
That is really insulting. Also, it's like they're not at war. You don't lose. Yeah. What the fuck? No.
Well, they do have her in brackets. It's neither does Elena in brackets Degrassi, the next generation's Nina Dobrev.
Love that.
There you go.
Okay. Fair enough.
The other thing that keeps appearing that I love is I keep getting clips of Paul Wesley's, like, you know, in Instagram where it's like, ask me anything. And it was like him. And someone did like Matt Donovan lol. And he's like, I know, right? Matt, hilarious. Who would want to be Matt? Not me.
Oh, God. No, we need to wrap this up, guys. This is a long
time. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry. Stop the fun now. And tell them where they can contact us if they want to reach out.
You can follow us and DM us on Instagram at Missing Mystic Fools Pod.
You can chat to us on Twitter. Is Twitter still a thing? At Miss Mystic Pod.
Honestly, I don't know. I am really torn what to do about Twitter in general. Twitter's dying a death, but we're there for now. I don't know what to do. People are moving to Threads. I'm not happy about it. I don't know, guys. For now, I'm still on Twitter. Come chat to us there. We can be one of your 600 only tweets that you get to see a day. Let us be one of them, please. And also, you can go onto your podcast app of choice and give us a 5-star rating and review. Thank you very much. Bye now. Bye.
Bye. Goodbye.